All right, what's up, everybody? Panos from the Puck Empire podcast here with Kevin. And as we are recording this on the night of January 30th, 2023, Bo Horvat has been traded just a few hours ago to the New York Islanders in exchange for a 2023 protected first-round pick, 12th, top 12 protected, Atu Ratu and Anthony Beauvillier. So, Kevin, what are your thoughts on this trade, buddy?
I don't know if anyone won. If I had to pick a winner, probably the Canucks. I don't know. What do you think? I feel like they probably could have gotten more for Horvat if they waited a little bit longer, but maybe
Yeah,
I'm wrong.
I agree as well. But I would give, like, at first, not gonna lie, I thought that was such a mid return for the Canucks when it first came out. I was like, bro, what are they doing? And it still kind of is with all the rumors we got. Like, at one point, they were rumored that it was like they might get Shane Wright. Like, remember that with John Bucciarelli? He was
Yeah.
Shane Wright, which is kind of
Maybe he
crazy.
was trolling. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Or
It's
maybe he was giving
possible.
his opinion, or I don't know. But
Yeah.
like this is kind of an underwhelming trade. But at the same time, if you just erase this year of Bo Horvat from your mind, if they got this last year from Bo Horvat, you'd probably be like, okay, that's pretty good, to be honest. You get a first round pick, because the Islanders might miss the playoffs but not get a top 12 pick. If that pick is like 13 or 14 or 15, that's a very good pick in this draft class. And then you also get Atu Ratu, who was once a very highly rated prospect. I think he's getting a little overrated from fans right now, but he has potential to be a solid NHL player. And then Beauvillier, I like as well. I think he's a solid, like, second, third line winger that you could have. Realistically, if you're trying to contend, he shouldn't be on your second line. But the Canucks are not trying to contend, so it doesn't really matter at the moment. So I don't mind the trade, but I feel like if they waited, definitely teams would have got more anxious about getting a top center for the playoffs, and I think they could have gotten a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think they sent Ratu down straight away, so it looks like they're going to be patient with him, which is good. Like you said, there's a little bit of potential there. I don't think it's going to be anything unreal, but overall, not a terrible return. Could have done better, but like you said, Horvat's having a career year, and I agree with the point that if it was any other year, it would look like a better return. And about the top 12 protection, maybe the Islanders get a top 12 pick and then just shit the bed next year and get an even better pick. You never know. The Islanders are looking kind of weird right now. I doubt that'll happen, but that'd be kind of funny too.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine they miss the playoffs, they fall off a little bit, they got a top 12 pick that moves to next year, and then if Bo Horvat doesn't sign, because Bo Horvat said he hasn't even had talks yet for an extension, I think he will sign. I think that the Islanders and Lou are going to give him probably like 9 mil, I think, at least.
Oh my God.
I think so, because that's what Larkin's asking for. And if Larkin
Oh
gets
my God.
yeah, if Larkin gets 9 mil, Bo Horvat I think will get 9 mil, especially because he's been much better than Larkin this season. Is he worth it? No, but that's, you have to overpay for players now, I guess. So Islanders are going to end up overpaying for him. And I think he'll stay there. But yeah, this sets the trade market for the rest of these centermen now too. It's kind of crazy because now we've got, I think, 33 or 32 days till the deadline. And now teams will kind of have an idea of what to give up for guys like Ryan O'Reilly, Jonathan Toews, Sean Monahan, like those guys. Now we know what their value is around because of what Bo Horvat just got.
Yeah, and just to keep the conversation more centered on the Islanders, I don't know about the fit about Horvat on that team because they already have a lot of centers, so I'm not sure why they're targeting him specifically, because you have Brock Nelson at 6 mil, you have Matthew Barzal at 7 mil. Casey Cizikas is making 2.5 mil, and Peugeot's making 5 mil. So this does strengthen their center core, but I imagine Barzal is obviously moving to the right wing. So I do wonder if that'll kind of open things up for Barzal a little more if he's getting moved to the wing with Horvat as a center.
Yeah, I think that it could. I think that's one very big positive for the Islanders out of this trade, is that you allow Barzal to play more of a winger, because I've never really seen Barzal as a legitimate center, to be honest. I think that's why he struggled a lot since his rookie year. Remember, in his rookie year, he wasn't playing center all the time, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he was playing the wing at least half of the season. He was playing the wing, unless I'm just crazy, but I remember him playing the wing sometimes, even on Tavares's line. So maybe that'll allow him to get back to his offensive abilities and take the defensive side of the game off of him a bit. And Bo Horvat is a very responsible center, which is another good thing for the Islanders. I guess if they make the playoffs, Bo Horvat is a guy who I think can help you a lot in the playoffs as your number one center. It's just, are the Islanders going to make the playoffs? I don't think it's a lock. I don't think it's likely, even, because
definitely not a lock. No,
the East is so good. It's like, mm-hmm. They're not going to be a top three in the Metro. That's for sure. I think the top three will be Carolina, New Jersey, and the Rangers. I think that's kind of a lock at this point. Not a lock, but it's very likely. So the Islanders are going to be fighting with teams like Pittsburgh, Washington, maybe I guess Florida, and then Buffalo for that wild card spot. Are they able to beat out one of those, like two of those teams, or one of those teams even? I don't think so. So I don't know. I mean, they definitely have to keep Bo Horvat at this point, because if you just let him walk, you have to overpay for him at this point, because if you let him walk, the trade's even worse than if you would have overpaid to keep him at this point.
Yeah, and especially if you miss the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. If they miss the playoffs, oh my gosh, that's one of the worst trades of Lou Lamoriello's career, and he's made a lot of terrible moves, so they got to keep him.
I do wonder if we'll see a drop in production for Bo Horvat as well. I'm not saying he's a power play merchant, but he was a very valuable part of that power play in Vancouver, playing the bumper position. If we just look real quick here, Bo Horvat has 10 power play goals this year. He's 10 out of 31. It's not definitely not a merchant, but definitely did help his production. So I do wonder if he can help that Islanders power play, but we'll see. It's running 15% right now, so yeah. I do think we'll see a drop in his production there.
I agree with you a ton, actually, because I don't think he's going to help their power play, because like when teams struggling on the power play, they usually need a guy who can drive the power
run
play.
Run it, yeah. Play.
LA was doing terrible on the power play last year, bro. They were like dead last, I'm pretty sure. They traded for Kevin Fiala, and he's running the power play now. He's a very, very talented player who's running the power play. And LA is like, I don't know how LA is doing now, but they're certainly not dead last anymore. That's for sure.
yeah.
Checked right now, their power play is 10th in the league. So definitely not dead last. And they were terrible last year. So Bo Horvat's not a guy who's going to run your power play by any means. He's definitely not going to bring you up from 31st, some substantial margin, because he's a guy, as you said, is the bumper position. He's a guy who's taking shots on net so he can clean those shots up on around the crease. And the Islanders also have guys like that already, with Anders Lee and Brock Nelson. That as well, exactly, yeah. So I don't think he's going to help the power play that much, and he's definitely going to see a loss in production just because of how many guys play his role. But I think they're bringing him in more for like the two-way leadership type of game more than his like insane offensive production. Like, I don't think Lou is expecting him to keep this up with the Islanders.
Yeah, and you say that, and it just makes the trade seem a little more meaningless and kind of worse, because I don't see the value of giving up all those assets just for a two-way player. But that also does bring the point back to Vancouver and how they definitely could have got more from a team that valued his production, in my opinion. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a weird, kind of a weird trade. And like you said, the bumper position, very important. They had JT Miller on that left side with a deceptive shot. They had this play where they went down low, back in front, Bo Horvat, one-timer goal. So I don't know how much we'll see that in New York, but yeah, just like you said, it's a weird, weird trade.
Yeah, and it just came out of like nowhere as well. Like, it just, I was not expecting the Islanders to be like the main team that won the sweepstakes. I know they were in it for a while, but I was honestly expecting it to be like Carolina or Boston who was going to do that, just to kind of strengthen up their center depth. And I know Boston didn't need him, but like, they could have moved one of their centers to the wing and had a guy like Bo Horvat up there. Imagine a Bo Horvat, David Pastrnak, David Krejci, those three down your middle. That would be insane for a playoff run. So I was not expecting the Islanders to be the team to do it. I didn't expect the Islanders to really do anything except for maybe like acquire a winger. Like, if they were going to get a star guy, I was expecting a guy like Tarasenko for your wing, a good shot. He's a guy who could make your power play maybe better at some point just because he's got such a good shot. And he's like not an offensive driver, but he's a power play type of guy. Bo Horvat is not a guy who's going to, you know, carry your power play. So I don't really get that much.
Yeah, and we talked about this before we started recording this episode. Obviously, you said that there's no way that the Islanders will flip him again. I agree with that, but people are mentioning the possibility that if the Islanders are out of a playoff spot, they could flip him again. But like, I just don't see that happening either.
Yeah, I said it when we were off air earlier. I said like the same thing was happening with Taylor Hall. The Coyotes traded for him back in 2019 December, I think it was, or 2020 January, one of the two. They traded for him. They were looking like a top team that year. They started to fall off a bit right before COVID hit and it canceled the season. And people were saying, is Arizona going to trade Taylor Hall at the deadline after just getting him 2 months ago? A GM won't do that, especially after making such a big trade, because it's just admitting that you fucked up. And if you do that, like, your job is pretty much over, I feel like. If you give up all those assets for the top trade deadline guy, and then you move him 2 months later because your team is on the playoff spot, like, your job is basically lost. And I mean, Lou Lamoriello is like 90, so I don't know if he even wants to keep his job at this point. Maybe he's trying to get fired so he can get the severance and retire. I don't know. But, like, I don't think he's going to move Bo Horvat, no matter what. Even if the Islanders are, like, fucking 10 points out of the playoffs, but I don't see it happening.
I'm with you on that. And if anything, they'll just be a Stark overpay.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the market has kind of been set. So where do you think some of these other potential trade candidates will end up in?
Yeah, so specifically centers, like I think the center market is now set. I think Ryan O'Reilly will go to Carolina, if I had to guess. Like, if I'm just looking at the rest of these center guys, I think Ryan O'Reilly is going to Carolina. I think Jonathan Toews could go to a team like Winnipeg. I think that Sean Monahan will be a Colorado Avalanche. There's been a lot of reports now that Colorado is the big fish on Sean Monahan. They want him. I don't know about it, to be honest, because Colorado actually, like, out of all the teams that are looking for a center, Colorado genuinely needs a center. So you might as well invest to pay big for a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, in my opinion, because Sean Monahan, he's been injured off and on all season. Is he going to be healthy for you when you need him the most in the playoffs? I don't know. He's already had injury history. It just doesn't make sense to me that's going to be your guy if you're Colorado, because the West is wide open this year. Like, any team in the West could go on a run to make the finals, because there's not any front runner this year, in my opinion. So Colorado might as well take advantage of that and stack up as much as possible. Gabriel Landeskog is on LTIR. He's apparently supposed to come back before playoffs, but you might as well utilize that LTIR and maybe just hold him off until the playoffs if you can do that, and just get a big fish, because you have a chance to make it to back-to-back finals this year with the West wide open. And they're going for a guy like Sean Monahan. I love Sean Monahan. I would not put my trust in him as my 2C for a back-to-back cup run.
Yeah, for sure. I do think they'd be favorites again if they acquired Ryan O'Reilly, and I do think that'll end up actually happening, that reunion. I don't know. I feel like Joe Sakic is a little smarter than that to put all of his trust in Sean Monahan. Like you said, long injury history. I don't know if he's a 2C still at this point in time. So yeah, just throw it all in. Throw it all in for Ryan O'Reilly. I think they'll make him favorites again.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think if they get Ryan O'Reilly, they're probably my cup favorites from the West end, at least. I still think that either Boston or Carolina is going to go all the way and win the cup this year. It'll be one of those two from the East, in my opinion. But Colorado would be the favorite to at least make the finals for me. The thing is with Ryan O'Reilly, does he even want to leave St. Louis? He's been reported that he wants to stay. He's been on... he said himself, actually, that he's willing to take a pay cut to stay. But the belief is that he wants a long-term deal with a pay cut, obviously, while the Blues only want a 2 or 3 year deal. I think eventually Blues are going to trade him ultimately, just because the assets they could get back for him are astronomical. in my opinion. I think he could get probably what Bo Horvat just got. I do think he can get what Bo Horvat got, just got, because of his leadership and his cup experience. He's won a Stanley Cup. You know, he's a very talented defensive forward. Every year he's one of the best defensive forwards in the league, and he's just a guy you want to have on your team if you're trying to win a Stanley Cup. So I think teams will end up going a bidding war, and it'll be too much for St. Louis to not take. And St. Louis also just doesn't have the cap. They've paid all their young guys absurd amount of money now for the future. They can't afford to give Ryan O'Reilly a long-term deal as well, even out of pay cut, in my opinion. They have to get rid of him. It sucks because he's your captain. He's been around for a while, and, you know, everyone loves him, but you have to do it if you're St. Louis, especially with the stuff you could get back in a deal for him.
You think the Leafs could be involved in this?
I think he would be a really good fit for the Leafs, but I don't – Dubois is very annoying with this stuff, and he doesn't want to give up a first. He doesn't want to give up his top prospect. When you're trying to contend, I don't get that. I would be all in if I'm Dubois, especially because I think if they lose in the first round – him and Keith are not completely out, but their jobs are very much on the line if they don't win another series. Even if it's not their fault, even if they match up against Boston or Tampa in the first round, they, you know, it's an unfair series. You know, they're playing against the two cup contenders are playing against either way, if it's Boston or Tampa in the first round. Like, it's unfair, but you can't just keep them around when they keep losing the first round every year. So I'd be all in if I'm Toronto. Like, don't, why are you holding on to these guys for? It's just annoying, especially the first. Like, okay, Knies, however you say it, Matthew Knies, I don't know. okay, he can slot in. He can technically be a rental for you because he can slot in after his college season done and play. Okay, I get that. But your first-round pick, why are you holding on to it for a guy who's not going to play in the NHL for at least 3 more years? Are you even going to be in Toronto in 3 more years? Like, your job is not safe for 3 more years. So you might as well be all in.
Yeah, and in 3 years, who knows what their core will look like, especially if William Nylander keeps his pace up. So go all in while you have Nylander on the steal of a deal, while he's playing just out of this world. Like, it's a good enough team to contend. Go out. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's see it.
If Toronto doesn't win a series this year, man, it will be like this entire core that they've had for all this time. This time they've been building this core and this everything they've had has been a waste because you're not getting Nylander for anything. I don't think you're getting Nylander for under 9.5 on his next deal. Maybe not even under 10. He's been insane. So you're definitely not getting, like, especially Forsberg, Philip Forsberg. He just got over 9 mil, correct?
Yes.
If Philip Forsberg just he got 8.5, okay? 8.5 on an 8-year deal. Nylander, especially with the cap going up, will get over $9 million. Mm-hmm. So you're not getting him for 6.9, what he's on right now, or whatever he's on his contract. You're not getting him for that. So Toronto, if they don't win a series this year, man, it's going to be the biggest waste of an amazing core that they've had. It'll be such a waste.
Yeah, and don't they have more cap space because of Muzzin on LTIR?
They do. They literally have all – because Muzzin's not coming back. It's obvious at this point he's probably going to retire. So you have all this extra cap space. You can get basically any rental that you want, you can get. Because with the salary retention, if you do a 3-way deal, you can get even Patrick Kane for $4 or $3 million. So they can get anybody they want. And they're just being all stingy. Like, just go all in, man. Go all in.
Yeah, and this is the last year you'll have Michael Bunting making six digits as well.
Exactly, yeah. He's definitely going to get a pay raise. I don't know if they're going to do that 8-year deal that they were reported to do. I mean, if you get him for like $3 million on an 8-year deal, go ahead. But I don't know how much he's going to ask for, to be honest.
And another name to watch out for a big contract maybe is Timothy Liljegren, who's apparently been really good.
Yeah, and Sandin also, right?
Yeah, and obviously not this summer, but the summer after for both of them. But that's also when Nylander's contract ends. So it's kind of, there's a lot of planning and a lot of cap about to be used. So go all in while you can. I don't see why they shouldn't.
Samsonov this year as well. He's been absurd. He's been, I mean, I know I'm a big Matt Murray fan, okay? I love him. I love him to death. Samsonov has been much better than him, especially over the last few weeks. He is the starter of Toronto for now. Okay, I still think it's a small leash for either goaltender. I think Toronto's going to utilize the fact that they have two good goaltenders, but he's your starter, and he's going to want a lot of money. The reason he took a 1-year deal in Toronto is because he wants to prove to everybody that he's worthy of being paid what he wants to be paid. And he can command, like, I don't know, like, he can get like 4 or 5 million, I think, on his next deal. I think 5 million even on his next deal. And that's another big contract for Toronto, right? So there's so much guys who are expiring in the next year or two that they have, like, if they don't win a series, there has to be some major surgery in Toronto.
Definitely. And just looking at historical examples of what this Toronto team has done, I don't know how you can justify not going all in. If I remember correctly, they were pretty conservative at the deadline last year, eh? Just Giordano.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Nick Foligno the year before.
Yeah, yeah. Foligno was the one. Giordano, they got him for relatively cheap, right? It was like a second.
Yeah, I wouldn't call Nick Foligno like a significant add at that time. Either way, I felt like everyone knew that he was past his prime at that point and was not worth the assets, especially when a guy like Taylor Hall was available for less.
Yeah, no, the Foligno trade was brutal from the start. The only people who defended the Foligno trade were legit Toronto media and Toronto fans. No one thought it was a trade for the Leafs at all. They got fleeced. It was a first round pick and third round pick for a third line checking forward. Like,
yeah, literally. So just going off historical examples, they need to go all in this year and get a big fish on the market, because clearly it's not working being conservative. So just grab an elite player, grab a good player that's out there, like even Timo Meier, grab someone to help this core out, please, because it has not worked being conservative for so many years now that you just have to try something.
Yeah, if they try conservative, and as I said, again, I keep going back to this, I don't know what they're going for conservative for. It's not like Dubois is on his first year and he's trying to build like a young core. He's been around since like 2018. Like, what are you waiting for, man? You have to win. You don't have like an unlimited clock.
No more waiting around in Toronto, please.
Yeah.
Just wasted potential at this point. Moving on to a slightly different topic. Austin Matthews, obviously out 3 weeks. With a knee injury, so Alex Barkov gets a call to the All-Star game. Matty Beniers gets injured, so Chandler Stephenson goes to the All-Star game. We were talking about the All-Star game in our last episode and how stupid it was, especially with the rigged fan vote, if you want to even call it that. But it's somehow gotten even worse.
Yeah, it's... I don't know what Chandler Stephenson's doing in the All-Star game. Listen, he's a really good player. Like, I would like to have a Chandler Stephenson on my team. He's a solid guy to have on your second or third line. Like, a 3C, he's an insane 3C. A 2C, he's like a, okay, solid 2C. But nobody wants to watch Chandler Stephenson, if I'm being realistic here. Nobody. First of all, who's Vegas's All-Star? Logan Thompson, right? He's the only guy?
Yeah, yeah.
I would have much rather seen like Jack Eichel at the All-Star game, even though Chandler Stephenson has 44 and 51. Like, if I have to choose a Vegas Golden Knight, I'm saying I would have much rather Jack Eichel to watch at the All-Star game than Chandler Stephenson. Like, Chandler Stephenson is a gritty guy. He's not a skill guy at all. What is it? Nobody wants to watch a grit guy at the All-Star game, right?
Yeah, he's just a complimentary player to like Mark Stone.
Yeah. And like, Seattle is your new franchise, and their fan base is not going to have a player to watch at this year's All-Star game. So I don't know what the point of, like, there's no.
Yeah, one team rule my ass.
Yeah.
What?
The whole point of it is to literally have one player per team. And also, okay, Beniers, yeah, he had 36 and 47. He made the All-Star game for Seattle. Burakovsky has 39 and 48. He has a better point per game than Beniers, so I'm not sure why he didn't just replace him. I mean, I'm not saying I want to watch Burakovsky at the All-Star game either, but if we're doing one team per rule, does it not make sense to have Burakovsky or Jared McCann, who has 35 and 46? He has a better point per game than Beniers as well. Does it not make sense to have one of those two guys at the All-Star game if you want to do that stupid one player per team rule? Like,
yeah, exactly. And this is another missed opportunity to integrate the so-called fan vote. Like, I did mention Barkov. Obviously, he's so, so skilled. It'll be fun watching him at the All-Star game. But it's also like, first of all, Nylander deserved it more.
Yeah.
And second of all, this is another missed opportunity to vote, to get our voted players in. I don't think Barkov would have led the fan vote. So And Chandler Stephenson definitely did not. Like, I wonder how they came to the conclusion to add Chandler Stephenson. Like, was everybody else on vacation? What? Like, what was... Oh, I forgot. Sorry. I forgot there's still games going on. I'm a Flames fan, so they're done until next week. That's kind of why I said that. But still. Still.
Oh, unironically, though, everyone is on vacation. I'm looking right now. There's no more Western Conference team other than LA, I think, playing for these next 2 days.
Yeah.
So, unironically, there is actually everyone else is on vacation. That might be why they want
to. They're just like, all right, who wants to come? And Chandler Stephenson's like, yeah, send me in. Put me in, coach.
Like, and Barkov, you're right. He is actually fun to watch. So, he's not a bad replacement. I would have rather... Yeah. Lander, because he deserved it more. But Barkov, if we have to have someone come into the All-Star game who wasn't part of the fan vote, he's a very skilled player. His hands are very fun to watch.
Yeah.
He'll be fun to watch there, I guess. But it's just like, they're just like, they break their own rules. Like, they set these rules in place and they break them. Like, what, you have one team, one player per team at least rule, and then you don't have a Seattle Kraken representative anymore. Franchise, you're trying to grow the game in Seattle because you just put this franchise here. In their second year of existence, they don't have a fucking representative at the All-Star game. What is that?
That is such a joke. That is so fucking funny. I can't believe that. You're literally second year in the league and they don't have an All-Star. Give me a break. Give me a break. Chandler fucking Stephenson. Oh my god. And just quickly back to Bo Horvat, he's fucking representing the Canucks at the All-Star game.
So the Pacific is just like dysfunctional as hell then, because you've got Chandler Stephenson replacing the Kraken's only representative, and then you've got Bo Horvat representing the Canucks and the Pacific Division when he's currently in the Metropolitan now. So the NHL is, this just kind of shows, like, the NHL's All-Star game is just kind of a shit show, to be honest. Like,
yeah, absolute disaster class.
And it's even funnier because Bo Horvat was part of the rigged players to get added into the
All-Star.
Rigged in. He was rigged in for the Pacific. No one voted this man. And then he's not even in the Pacific anymore for the All-Star game. He's representing them, but he's not a Pacific player anymore. So it's just kind of funny how the karma for the NHL works there.
Yeah, I guess we did see this with the John Scott situation. Like, they let him play despite being traded to a different conference. But yeah, that was an exception. Come on. Everybody wanted to see that. They were trying so hard not to have that happen.
Yeah. And I think the last time I saw some stuff on Twitter, the last time this happened was with the Latvian defender. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Sandys Ol something. He got,
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, he was all right in the early 2000s, yeah. But he got traded by Florida, so he represented the Eastern Conference and Florida at the All-Star game, but he didn't wear the Florida Panthers logo on his jersey. So maybe that's what they do with Bo Horvat, where he's wearing just the Pacific Division jersey at the All-Star game, even for the skills competition. Because
I hope so.
That's what it will likely be, I would assume. I highly, highly doubt they're going to have him in a Vancouver Canucks jersey for the Seals. Yeah.
That'd be awkward.
But I don't think he's going to debut in an Islanders All-Star jersey either. I think he's just going to have a neutral Pacific Division jersey.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I didn't even think about that, so
yeah,
you're right.
All right, moving on from the All-Star game, we've got one more topic to talk about here, and it's kind of the interesting wild card race we have going, and I guess only the East is kind of very close. The West is like only a few teams, but the East, in the wild card race right now, we've got Washington, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, New York Islanders, Florida Panthers, Philadelphia Flyers technically, Detroit Red Wings technically, and even, I guess, the Ottawa Senators are all in the wild card race, because the Ottawa Senators are eighth out of the 10 teams that are battling for the last two wild card spots. They're eighth, only ahead of Montreal and Columbus, but they're only 8 points back of a wild card spot as of right now behind Pittsburgh. So they're technically in it. So there's 10 teams that are going to be battling, or eight teams that are going to be battling for that those two wild card spots, it looks like. So the East is going to be an absolute bloodbath. I mean, who do you think is making it out of those eight teams that I just named for the wild card, the two wild card spots?
Before I get into that, I just want to say, like, remember last year when the East was set at this point? Just everybody knew the eight teams that were going in, and it was just a depressing.
Yeah, it was so bad, man. It was
awful. But to answer your question, I honestly think it'll just be how it is right now with Washington and Pittsburgh. Although I do want to put some belief in the Buffalo Sabres. So I'm going to change that. I'm going to say, I'm going to say Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Just because I want to believe in the Sabres a little bit. They're on a hot stretch. I love Tage Thompson. So, yeah, let's put in some faith in Buffalo.
You think Pittsburgh's making it?
I mean, as long as their core guys stay healthy, like, with Letang back, that helps a lot. But I don't know. It could easily be Washington, too. Like, I don't know. Just one of Pittsburgh and Washington, and I'm putting my faith in Buffalo just for fun because I really want them to make it.
Yeah, I think Washington is donezo, unfortunately, just because, like, Washington, you have Alex Ovechkin, arguably the best power play player of all time, I guess, alongside McDavid. He has the Capitals' power play at 19th in the league. Their power play is not going. Goals and shots on goal per game, they're both in the second half of the bottom half of the teams in the NHL. Their defense is, you know, one of the worst in the league for any playoff team as of right now. And also, if you exclude December, where they were 11-2-2 in December, basically saving their season, they'd be 15-18-4 right now. So December just saved their season. They just went on an insane run in December. They dominated. They saved their season after a really bad start. And now they're back to being very, very bad again. In January, they're 5-8. So I don't know. I don't really have any faith in Washington right now. And Pittsburgh, they're just so inconsistent. It's really brutal to watch how inconsistent they are. Their bottom six hasn't scored a goal. Or their third line of Jeff Carter, Brock McGinn, and I think it was... I forget, it was either Heinen or it was, no, it wasn't Heinen. It was maybe Kasperi Kapanen or someone else on that third line. They have not scored a goal in like 12 games or 13 games, which is just absurd. 13 straight games. So yeah, I don't think either of those teams are going to make it. I think it's going to end up being Buffalo. They just look really hot right now. I know I said a few weeks ago, I don't think they're going to be able to do it, but they're back on their streak right now and they look very good. And I think the second team will end up being, unfortunately, just because I don't think they deserve it the way they've played so far, but I think this second half of the season they're going to go off, the Florida Panthers, I think, will get back in it, and they'll get that second wild card spot.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
They're only 3 points back right now. They do have three games more played than Pittsburgh, but... I don't know. I see them getting back on a hot streak. Barkov has been very good, at least these last few games again. And Tkachuk is one of the best wingers in the league. As much as people love to hate him, he's one of the best wingers in the league for sure.
Yeah, it definitely helps when you have two elite talents like that. So you kind of convinced me on that. So if I had to set an official answer, this is my lock. My lock for the two wild cards is Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Just because I do think Pittsburgh's core will carry them to the playoffs. But if I had to choose a team, an honorable mention, it would be the Florida Panthers. I'm going to change the Washington pick. I'm going to put my first two locked is Buffalo and Pittsburgh, and then Florida in there.
Yeah, I mean, Florida just looks so good right now. Their last 10, they're 5-3-2. They just had an amazing come-from-behind victory over Boston, where Barkov scored with 3 seconds left. And then they scored an overtime to win it right off the bat. So they just look like they have a ton of momentum right now. Matthew Tkachuk has only had two games so far in 2023 where he's been held without a point. In the other games, he has had a point in every single other game other than two of his last, I think, like 15 games or something like that where he has had a point in them. So he's just been insane right now. His last three games, he has 2 points plus in each game. He's on a tear right now. Matthew Tkachuk is a guy who... you want to have on your team. He, you know, sometimes, as we said, we talked about it in older podcasts, when it gets to the playoffs, he falls off, I guess. Right? He did it in Calgary. He might do it in Florida if they end up making the playoffs. But for the regular season, he's one of the best players you could have on your wing, honestly.
It's comedic. It's actually comedic how wrong I was about Tkachuk coming into the season. I surely thought he would drop off going to Florida and not having that elite first line, but nope, this guy drives play all by himself, and it kind of pains me to see that. And I think it's... Sorry, go ahead.
I thought him and that Barkov duo, I always thought it was going to be insane. I just knew that the rest of their team was just kind of extremely mid.
But he's been insane even without Barkov on his line sometimes. Like, I think he's been playing with Bennett a lot, and Barkov has also missed a few games and stretches.
Yeah.
So even without him, he's just driving play by himself. He's just unbelievable, and I was very wrong about that. Maybe it was a little bit of copium. Actually, it was a lot of copium.
There was definitely some copium in there.
There was kind of a lot of copium in there. And quickly before we move on to the West, you say the Sens are in that race technically, but spoiler alert, they're not going to make it. What do you think they do with DeBrincat?
I think they're going to end up keeping him. I just think it's, again, kind of goes back to my point. It's not exactly like what I said with the rental thing, where I said you don't trade a rental, but like, he's technically their rental piece. They trade him for him the offseason, even though he only had 1 year left on his RFA deal. I don't think they're going to trade him. I think they'll just end up paying him what he wants. I don't think they're making it either. I don't think they're going to even get close, because they're still 5-5 in their last 10. And they're still bottom half of the league in most categories, including goals and including defensive analytics. So I don't think they're going to even come close. But technically.
Speaking, yeah.
Only 8 points out, technically speaking.
Mm-hmm. So no, I'm with you. I don't think there's any reason to trade an RFA of that caliber. They'll just give him what he wants. I agree.
I think they'll end up trading Cam Talbot, though. And then maybe they find a spot for Tyler Mott, but they're not going to be of a seller.
Talbot's a UFA, so yeah, they don't have to worry about that.
No, I think they'll end up trading him.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I think they're going to end up selling at the deadline, but they don't have
money
to sell. So guys like Talbot and guys like Tyler Mott and like maybe Nick Holden, they'll probably trade.
But and then Hamnick's expiring too, so they'll have cap to do this.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the West. Which teams are in this race right now?
This one is much more boring than the East. It's really just like one of the three top Pacific teams, like either Seattle, Vegas, LA, or Edmonton will be one of those teams battling for like the top wild card. And then it'll be either Colorado, Minnesota being the second wild card spot. One of those two will be outside of the Central. And then it'll be like Calgary, Nashville, St. Louis looking from the outside, trying to get the second or first wild card, but probably second. That's what it's looking like right now. So I just think it'll be what it is right now. I think in the West, I think maybe Calgary takes that spot from Minnesota once Colorado inevitably passes Minnesota and Minnesota falls to a wildcard spot. I think Calgary will end up passing Minnesota, but I don't think it's going to change like drastically. And I don't think there's going to be much of a race. I think St. Louis will kind of fall off by near the deadline. Nashville, they're on a little hot streak right now, 6-4 in their last 10. UC Saros has had a couple of good games, but they're not gonna be good enough to make the playoffs, in my opinion.
That Predators team does run on Saros.
Yeah, 100%. If Saros goes down, like, they would probably be in the Bedard race, honestly.
Yeah, he goes down, even if he has some inconsistent play, which, you know, goalies. It's just way too risky. So yeah, I agree. Don't see Nashville making it in that wild card spot. 100% Colorado is making it with a division spot. No doubt about that in my mind. I think the wild card teams, I think Vegas will drop down to a wild card spot.
I think so as well, actually. I don't think it's like confirmed, but I think it's very possible they could, just because all the injuries and like they lost four straight. They have two wins in their last 10 games. Mark Stone is out once again. And Jack Eichel
struggling.
Well, yeah, he has not scored a goal or a point in 5 games. He has not scored a goal since January 12th, which is like 10 games ago. He's bad right now.
Yeah, he's just not the guy that you hope to trade for right now. Obviously, once they lost Mark Stone last year, that's when their season started to fall apart a little bit. And it looks like we may be seeing a repeat of that here. I do think Calgary will end up, well, yeah, I think Vegas and Calgary will be the wild card spots, although I do think Calgary could very much be in the divisional race, chasing Edmonton and LA and maybe even Seattle if their shooting percentage drops.
Yeah, if Calgary makes the playoffs, I could genuinely see them going all the way to the finals. Like, that's a team that I've been saying it over and over again. If they make the playoffs, I could see them beating any team in the Western Conference. But it's just a fact of getting to the playoffs, and as of right now, they are not in a playoff spot.
It's funny because that team also runs on a player. And it's not a player you would expect it to be either. It's Chris Tanev.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that too. Like, haven't they lost, like, basically every game they've played without him?
It's like 1-8 or 1-9 or something. Or, sorry, no, they beat Seattle. So it was 2-8, 2-9, something like that. And we saw it in the playoffs versus Edmonton. When he went down, that D-core was in shambles. McDavid was cooking. Absolutely cooking that D-core. So the Flames need Tanev to stay healthy. And if he does stay healthy, I do see maybe a finals run on the horizon. It's very much possible. But even to make the playoffs, they need him to be healthy. And he's just sustained an injury recently. Apparently he is playing injured even before that. He should be back after the All-Star break if I saw that right. But no, that team runs on him.
Yeah, and as we said, if Calgary makes it, they can make a finals run. Because as I said earlier, any team in the West could make a finals run, in my opinion. Any playoff team in the West could run to the finals. It's so wide open. The East as well, I could see many of the Eastern teams making a finals run. But in reality, we know the two big dogs are Boston and Carolina. But the West, it's wide open. Like, I think like the top six teams in the East are all better than the top team in the West, which is probably, in my opinion, Winnipeg right now.
I think it's Colorado still. But
you think it's Colorado? I mean,
I think it will be Colorado.
I agree as well. They've been hurt as well. Like, McKinnon missed a month, and then they still haven't even gotten Landeskog back, who's very key to them. But, like, Winnipeg is up there as well. They've only lost one game in overtime. They only have one loser point in 52 games this year, which if they had Dallas's loser points, they would be 75 points right now, and they would be up by every team in the West by 9 points. So,
yeah, but Colorado, if they win all their games in hand, they'll be tied with Winnipeg. I mean, they only have three loser points. That's not a huge difference from one. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think Dallas could be the fraudulent team here. I say
because they've been way more fun to watch than they usually are, but they are very much fraudulent this year in some ways.
Mm-hmm. 10-10 loser points. Yeah, that's a lot.
Like 30 more games to go.
Yeah, and I don't see Minnesota. I know you said that you could see any team in the West making a finals run. I don't see that with Minnesota.
Oh, I wasn't including Minnesota. I don't think they're making the playoffs.
Oh, okay, I see.
No, I meant any team that I have projected to make the playoffs from the West, I think can make any.
Okay, sorry, what was your wild card pick again?
I had Colorado passing Minnesota, and then I had the wild card being either Vegas, Edmonton, Vegas or Edmonton as a one wild card, and then Calgary as a two.
Okay. Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah.
Sorry, I misunderstood you there.
No, there's no way I'm sort of making it.
Yeah. No, they're built very weirdly. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
Any other last thoughts here?
No, other than I just wanted to point out that Connor McDavid has 46 power play points in 50 games. So he's almost point per game just based off of straight off power play points. So take that as you will. It has nothing to do with the conversation. I just kind of wanted to point it out because it's very weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And it's also, he's just a power play merchant. What can we say? I mean, it's funny because Nugent Hopkins and Hyman are just his little minions right now. They both have 60 points. They're just feeding off of that guy. Good for them.
His little minions, you called them?
Yeah. That, as my good friend said.
They are kind of his
That's he has it's
they're
funny,
good.
he said he has Evander Kane, Nuge and Hyman on his fantasy team, and his name's McDavid's Little Minions. So that was pretty funny.
Tyson Barrie's also a little minion, I feel like. He's got 22. He has 34 points.
Literally.
22 are on the power play out of his 34 points.
Oh my, that's funny. It's crazy. It's crazy that Edmonton isn't in the first place by a mile right now.
Yeah.
The fact that they're in a wild card spot is pretty embarrassing.
It is.
As it is right now. We'll see if they can redeem their embarrassment in the playoffs, but
yeah.
So I guess we'll go ahead and wrap this up now.
Yeah. Thanks guys for listening again. We'll be back with another episode after the All-Star game, and we're getting closer to the deadline, which is the most fun time of this season. So, see you guys in the next one.